Cool. Okay. Yeah, so I'm using a Mac right now. I never use it. I only have it for recording BSD now, and the rest of the time it's just like sitting on the KVM doing nothing, and it draws like 2 watts idle, so it just doesn't matter.
Okay.
But it has a mouse plugged into it, and I've been using a trackball for the last year. And so every time I sit at this, I'm like, oh, I can't click any buttons. They're too small. Okay, cool. So thanks for joining me. I'd normally try and do a bit of background on people before I interview them, so I can like flavor questions, but we set this up an hour ago. So some of the stuff is going to come from your BSDCon talk in Bucharest, because that is the easiest thing I could pull up. And so you've been using FreeBSD since 1998, which is a horrific number of years ago, and I actually worked out how many years it was wrong, and then I had to look at it again. And then you've been a committer since 2015. How did the project change from when you started using it on the desktop to when you started getting involved?
I don't think it changed much, but I met enough people that are actually connected to the project that they twisted my arm into becoming a committer. So I started on a laptop already, so in 1988. I think the first thing I was trying to do is building OpenOffice from ports. I don't remember if it was there already or soon to be there, and so I worked there. And someone told me that, hey, if you're crazy enough to try to get OpenOffice working on FreeBSD, then you should join the project, which took me 10 years before actually doing it. And yeah, in 2010, I think, I don't remember who, but someone invited me to BSDCAN. To present, I think I was already working on package at the time, and so I had to present what I have done in BSDCAN, and that's how I get involved into the project directly. I don't know
So,
if that's the question initially, but
yeah. So when package first came into the project, it was this package NG, is that correct?
yeah, called it first package ng. So package was I worked at first with some other people on the port tree, and I was complaining that nothing was usable directly as a binary package. So when a friend of mine is was working on NetBSD and working on packaging, Emil, and I started by first porting packaging to FreeBSD, which kind of worked, but I quickly jumped into the limitation of the package tools that were underneath packaging. So I started my own project. I started it with Julien Lafaye, who was already a committer at the time, port committer, I think. He's not active anymore. And it was just supposed to be between I and him to see how complicated it would be to make something from scratch. And in parallel, I was pushing new patches to improve the package install we have in base system, but I quickly figured out that it was too hard to achieve. So I ended up with something kind of working. I sent a mail to them saying, hey, it's kind of working this. And that's how they invited me to Canada to show what I've done, and I joined the project basically. And
Were you expecting at that point that you'd still be working on package 15 years later?
no, I managed to. So the companion of package has since the start been Poudrière. Because I needed something to test package to build package quickly for me to be able to test package itself, and this one I managed to abandon it on the road, and it's now Brian Drury who is taking a lot of care of it, and I'm very glad that I don't have both of them, but package is still under my hand. But actually, it's I should not say that, but it's kind of fun still. There's many things to do, and it's kind of fun. I haven't done, I would say, half of what I had in mind in the beginning yet. So,
Oh, cool.
in
So there's a lot
package,
of work to do still.
yeah, there is. Well, if you look at the history, I think I made a talk about making package-based reality something in like 10 years ago in BSDCAN 2015, I think, and we're only doing it right now. I have many plans regarding security with package, which are slowly landing right now, like preventing any random root script to be run by scripts by default, so that anything could be reviewed. Right now, all the post-install script and stuff like this is something someone has put in a random pod somewhere with obviously a lot of care and stuff like this. That's something I really hate. So we now have triggers that can be reviewed in single places. We can have sandbox script. Everything that is running in Lua is sandboxed under Capsicum, which also limits what you can do. And my long-term goal is to be able one day to not allow anymore any script to be run at, in routine package, but I'm not sure I will manage to do that. But still aiming at it.
Cool. What do you think the barrier to getting more people involved in package development is?
I don't know. Probably me somehow because I already provided access to the GitHub directly to many people. So I think now we are 8 person who are able to merge thing there, but no one is willing to do it. So either I should scare them or I don't know. I think also that it's not really. It's a very complicated piece of software because you it looks simple at first. You only extract tarballs on file system, what could go wrong, but then it becomes very complicated because in particular if you want to do upgrades and if you want to add the flexibility people want to get, you get into complex solver, which to be honest I don't understand myself. We use SAT solving for that. It was done by Vsevolod Stakov, who is a committer also on FreeBSD during Summer of Code. He probably he still knows better than I do, but he's not active anymore, at least on this area. And I think it's a kind of software who needs a clear view in long term, and I'm very bad into writing down a roadmap and stuff like this. So if people want to join, I think they are scared about changing thing that would not go in the direction that I may have in mind, and maybe that blocks them from contributing. I don't know, but I mean, we still have many contributors, I think, if we compare to other subsystem in the project.
So you already mentioned that package base was presented as a goal 10 years ago. Do you think the package tooling has been a major barrier, or do you think it's been other factors to getting towards actual package
No, I
base?
think yeah, it was other factors. We can see now that the to-do list for package was big, yes, but there was no motivation to do it because it's a chicken egg problem. No one was willing to work on the base system itself, and there is a will in the project to actually work on it for a while, but there is no one who wanted to put the energy into it. And the real energy happened, I would say, a year and a half ago. Not before. I was the one who put the energy to create the initial packages and the initial framework, then nothing happened. Then there was a bit of energy that had been pushed by the OCI people because they were very interested into making tiny OCI images based on FreeBSD. So they put back some energy, and recently there is a lot of push by Edmast, Kyle Evans, and Mark Johnson, who is actually this is a, and or more recently a lot of work from Lexi, which really put something further. And I keep forgetting about it, but Manu did a huge work after I did the initial framework in the Sense 3 for building packages, because he had the motivation to well, he was actually paid for that, so that helped at the beginning. But he had the motivation of building some appliances which needed a package base for that, so he put a lot of energy into this. And in his current company also, there is a will to migrate from another flavor of packaging base into this one. The complexity for packaging base is we need to get the whole project in the same road. So there was m more attempt in the past. Before package, I think a Russian company was making packaging base. So it would around, I think, 2010 or 2012. But if there were packaging base, there was a presentation done somewhere. They were using the old package install tools. Then, when I started in 2015 speaking about this, there's another company who took what another Russian company who took what this company was doing and switched that to package NG at the time. I think iXsystem proposed also something where they were more or less proposing a mechanism where it was not really packages, but the current sets were actually turned into packages. So it was FreeBSD base, FreeBSD kernel source, and something like that. More a little bit more fine-grained, but not a lot. And then somehow with the energy from Manu, etc., we are where we are now.
Do you think there's a project lesson for FreeBSD and how we approach big system-wide changes like this?
I thought about it, but the problem is we are mostly volunteers, and this work is not if this work is not driven by a company, because they have a huge need on that and they drive it from A to Z, and they provide enough time to the people working on it to actually do it in the community, it cannot work in the kind of project we are. And that's how it felt for IX. That's how it felt for those Russian company. They were able to do something that was workable for them, but did never have enough time because. And I understand that. I mean, it's not a blame, because they have to switch to other thing in their work time, and so the time to integrate that properly with all the corner cases that the FreeBSD project may have because of the various kind of users. Is an extra mile that I don't think can be done like that. So it's more a community or sponsored by things like entities like either the foundation, either Clara or companies like that who have the time to actually work directly within the company first, within the community first, and then for a company need. So I don't know what lesson we can take here, but there are a lot of changes like that, and usually you only have one hero taking it. And I'm happy that actually package base is not ending up like that. It's many heroes at the time, and that's very good. It will way later than I expected, but
Such a soft
still
word.
there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff which is good enough for a company, like it's good enough for their shipping product, but it's not good enough for FreeBSD. And
Exactly.
sometimes it feels like our standards are too high to get code in.
I'm not sure the standard is too high. People keep claiming that, but I mean, look at those open source projects. They're claiming are often way harder than ours. If you work with the Linux kernel, for example, if you work with other operating system, it's often harder. I don't think it's too high. And company do the same in those. Just there are way more company working on those operating system. But if you look at Linux, the number of company that are not upstreaming anything just because the barrier is too hard, they are doing it. I think that the barrier is okay. The thing is, how do you convince people to work on areas that are not that are going beyond what they had in mind when they started doing something? Like, yes, this is good, but think about for it's good for our servers, but think about desktop users. What would happen? I don't care about desktop users. Should I pay my employees to do that? And that's the problem that we face. But to be honest, in all the company I've been working for, they have the problem for every single operating system or every single open source project they work with. And it's always the same problem. And my personal experience from my past companies where we contributed code, FreeBSD is actually easier to get stuff in than in other area, as long as you know someone in the project who can help you and drive you. And the problem is we are not a lot, so it's not that easy to know someone in the project to drive you.
Do you think there's a way that project members could make themselves more available to corporate entities? I mean, so we're at our own conferences and there's no mixing there, but we go to FOSDEM and similar events. But my experience from FOSDEM this year was not companies looking to use FreeBSD. It was people saying, "Oh, I used this 10, 20 years ago. I'm surprised you're still around."
So FreeBSD in company is a hot topic because basically you have Linux everywhere and people expect to get all the technology from Linux. So I don't know how you can revert that, but if we speak about contribution, I don't think it's members who should be more available. Of course that works, but I think it's a culture within the company that should happen. As I said, in every company I've been working with, it's either an individual hero who upstream everything to whatever open source project they work with, or they are just sat on a huge pile of patches that, yes, one day maybe they will contribute, but any time. So I'm working, and that's what I'm doing right now in OVHcloud, into changing the mind of this company to say, if you work first with the community, it's at first a bit harder, but after a couple of months, you usually end up in a situation where everything goes better and goes smoother. In the previous company, it was very nice to get heads up from then project each time they were doing things that may break our usage, just because we were contributing with the community. And as we were very small, we were really surprised that we got this level of feedback from the Zen project, while they have on the other side Amazon, for example. We were four, and for us it was a huge win. Before getting into the community, we were lagging in a very old version of Zen. Because we were within the community, we were able to track the latest updates almost in time. We could play with the live patches, play with many things up front, and so when it was the time to upgrade, we were ready because it was easy. Just because we're in the community. On the other hand, we end up just having to re if we are not doing that, we're just having to rebase all our patches before when a new release comes. And of course it comes when you are working on a very important project in your roadmap, and then you don't have time to look for this, so you postpone, and 6 months later you have a huge debt to deal with. So the project could be seen more available, but I really think that it's a matter of mindset of the people on the other side.
So you mentioned OVH, and I think it's a good segue into another tool which is available in 15. I'm not sure if it's new in 15, which is your Cloud Init tool, Nuage Init. Is
Yeah,
that the
for
right
it's in
pronunciation?
yeah, Nuage. It's in 14 already. 14.1, 14.2, 14.3. It gets good starting 14.3. My point is, when I joined OVHcloud, there was no FreeBSD image at anymore, which was painful for me because I was a client, and there used to be there has always been some FreeBSD committers in OVHcloud at some point, or because we are quite big company anyway, but we don't have time to maintain those image. We have clients that request them, but it's a lot of time to maintain those image. So they ended, but before my time, they ended up giving up on having FreeBSD on bare metal and on virtual machine. I figured out that actually our images that we did provide were working almost out of box on bare metal with a feature they have, which is bring your own image. So basically, you just burn a raw image on the disks on the bare metal, and then you boot up. I figured that one thing they did for the bring your own image features is even on bare metal use the cloud init. So how they do cloud init is not through network fancy things like you have in the VM, virtual machine, or cloud, cloudish stuff. What they do is they use the mechanism where they have a disk that is presented to the machine, and when it boots, the disk has the data. So it's basically the configuration of cloud init in the disks. When I saw that, I thought, okay, so if I want to get to be able to run FreeBSD out of box without using something like MFSBSD or some other techniques where I use QEMU to burn something on the disk or stuff like this, I just have to have a cloud init image that works. And I looked at the official cloud init, which I didn't like at all because it's huge. The FreeBSD support is kind of fragile, which I don't blame. It's a lot of work to be able to put FreeBSD stuff, FreeBSD specific stuff into this, and it's too big because it requires Python and stuff like this, and we don't have Python in the base system. And I wanted something that works in the base system, so I was okay. It should not be hard to make something that is good enough to boot the machine. I wrote NewAgent that way. When I did the minimum to be able to boot it on the bare metal, and then I figured that we have clients that are requesting to have native image on our public cloud, so. I looked at what it was. It's an OpenStack, so it respects also cloud init, except that it is by default fetching configuration from the network rather than from the disks. It can work on the disks, but then the user has to find where the option is, and it's not on by default, and so on. So I added network support for cloud init, which is for NewAgent init, sorry. I did network support there, and it worked. We were able to provide the image. I think we have now native image available on public cloud since June. And then the last bit was, but we also have VPS, and people like having VPS in those environments. But in this case, I wasn't the one doing the work. The people who are working on the VPS came to me like, okay, we have the public cloud. Well, actually, they worked also on the public cloud version, but we have the public cloud version that kind of work. We need to be able to now automatize that because our VPS uses kind of the same kind of technology to start up. So we will start from there, and they did a lot of testing and provided me a lot of bug fixes that I pushed, and here we are. And apparently people kind of like NewAgent init because now we have many people that has been adding features, and the version in FreeBSD 15.0 is, I won't say complete because there is a lot of more stuff that could be added, but complete enough so that it's usable almost everywhere, and it works. It works for OVH Cloud, obviously. So everything that is based also on OpenStack, it works for bare metal and at OVH Cloud. But I tested it also on in France. We have internet provider that ships with boxes where you can run QEMU images there, and it's respect also. So in your internet box, you can run some VMs, and it respects cloud init, so it works there as well. So I've been tested, and people reported me that as well. Work on DigitalOcean, it works. I don't remember where the only one where it hasn't been tested to my knowledge is AWS. I don't have any access to AWS, so I don't know what it's required. I know that they need a specific package to fetch because there is some there's a dedicated feature, but it should be, I guess, something like 10 lines of shell to add that to the RC script that does nuagen it properly.
Awesome, thank you. So you spoke in 2018 at EuroBSDCon on the FreeBSD project, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm aware that I'm just kind of springing this on you, but how do you think we're doing against the bad and the ugly?
It goes to governance, and I think we're getting better. To be honest, I think we're getting better. Network was and Wi-Fi was very hard to get, but in the end, I personally didn't agree with the initial approach, but it seems to work, and I'm using it right now, so I'm happy. And it worked on the alternative, and it worked as well. So, it brings us again into a place where we have, I think it was in the bad, where we have both, we have two solutions for the same problem, exactly like we have three firewalls and stuff like this. But I think it's, it might be seen as bad, but it's probably like it's probably part of the reason why we like FreeBSD as well. It makes it human. We have different tests. There are places where we cannot agree on the solution, and okay, we have two solutions, and people want to maintain it. It's okay, and then we fight because we only want to have one. So it makes it like kind of a family. It's okay. I don't remember what I've listed in the as bad in that presentation. I should find it again.
So one thing was Subversion, but we're definitely past that.
Yeah.
After no pain at all.
Yeah. I think Bluetooth is still a pain. We're workable, but still a pain. I'm getting my slides. Yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What did I say? No. Old school sysadmin. Methodology. It's not that bad. Package management is was listed as bad. I think where the next challenge for us in the ugly, I have CSH, but I dealt with that. We don't. We have BinSH by default. In the bad, three firewalls and mail. I think we are done. VI has been upgraded since, so I think we're okay-ish. FDisk BSD label is gone. Command option strictness. I'm not sure anymore if it's bad. So it's okay. Lack of dash dash help. That I don't care. Actually, I don't use it. I have manpage, so I'm happy with it. I think Ingo Schwartz from OpenBSD convinced me that running man is better than having dash dash help. So it's not part anymore of my list of bad. What else do I have? The ugly. Pixie boot is still a problem. We have improved a lot. I like this because I remember now the context I was working at Gandhi at the time, and we needed to be able to deploy very quickly some FreeBSD machines for the filers, and we booted all the Linux boxes over PXE, and FreeBSD was really painful for that because we couldn't use IPXE, we couldn't, we had to go through MFS images and stuff like this, which was complicated, while on Linux it was very easy. And 10 years later, Warner managed to fix, I think it is a couple of months ago, the situation by making the support for PXE memdisk devices, IPXE, sorry, memdisk images support in the kernel, so that we can boot now raw FreeBSD images directly from IPXE, and I use that in OVH as well, because you can provide your own IPXE script to boot your bare metal, so that's great. And I'm happy to see that I had the same problem that I have now. It takes us 10 years to fix them, but it's fine. In the bad way, I can see lack of out of box cloud image. It's fixed. We have it now. We still have issues with local FreeBSD update mirrors that will probably be fixable by the switch to package base because of the latest discussion on the infrastructure. I don't know yet what reason engineering will be doing, but I think everything will be CDN compliant. So if it's CDN compliant, we will be able to probably provide a mechanism to mirror that locally. And in companies where you have many FreeBSD, you're happy to get your own FreeBSD update server rather than saturating your bandwidth at each update. And what else did I have? The good, the bad, and support. BI front end we don't have. I would love, and I think there is this year Summer of Code about that to have a BI back end for QEMU. So a front end like a la QEMU would be very great for Beehive. That was Beehive lack of feature live migration. We have passed through now, but live migration we still don't have, and I think it's a main problem for Beehive to act in companies. I mean, if you are a cloud company providing VM, the reason it's interesting, it's because you abstract the hardware problem, so you live migrate the machine without the client noticing. So not having it makes it fun for laptops, but not really usable in companies. And I did the lack of dynamic CPUs, which we still have a lack of, which is interesting because that's a feature we had. I don't think it's needed anymore, really. But at the time at Gandhi, we were providing some cloud services, and we could dynamically add core to the CPUs on the VMs without rebooting them. It works on Linux. It was not working out on FreeBSD. You had to reboot. But I'm not sure it's the way people consume VMs anymore. So I'm not sure it's a big problem. NFS is still ugly. But that's me. I don't like NFS. It's ugly everywhere. What else did I have there? PMC stat UI is still ugly, but works. Sanitizer is getting better, but still not good. Force in the loader. Yeah, we have fixed that. The old GDBs that's been fixed. So no, actually, most of the ugly and the bad has been fixed. If I look at the community, mailing lists is the best way to catch attention. So, well, yeah, okay, why not? Localized documentation, kill the French. Yeah, I think we haven't killed it yet, but we should. There is no one to translate it, so it's very old and outdated. And yeah, community feedback, the ugly is a bug report without if you don't have a proxy in the project, it's often very hard to get through that's what we were talking before, but it's the same for the project. In the contribution, the ugly were there is no official process. Yeah, that's something I find ugly. We have 20 different processes to contribute. And we think that it opened the gate for everyone, but actually, when most people I talk with that are major thing to provide, they prefer to have a complex but single point of contributing because it's clear path, even if it's painful, rather than where I am, I'm lost. Should I put that in GitHub? Should I put that in review.freebsd.org? Should I put that in Bugzilla? Should I send just a mail on the mailing list? Old people I've been talking to that have major, I'm not speaking about just tiny typos because those one prefer just to send their patch and hope that they will find the project. But when you have major thing to contribute, then you want a clear path for it, and we don't have this clear path. On Linux it's very clear, very painful, but very clear. On FreeBSD it's painful and not clear.
Yeah, and in other projects, the requirements and expectations are very clear as well. Like for Linux, there's, yeah, generate your patch, do your work, and then run this script over it, and then follow its advice. And for
Exactly.
us, we have a ton of different ways to submit a patch, a ton of different places to check. There's almost an implicit, like, you need to find a sponsor, go find someone to help you. And there's still, even before you contact a sponsor, there's no way to know that you've hit a minimum level of quality. Whereas Linux kernel, you run check patch, it deals with all the syntax issues you're going to get, mostly. And smoothing that process would probably help a lot. But that's quite a high level approach we needed. So maybe this is something Source Manager can deal with in
Probably they can
Google.
do that. Also, it needs to be very opinionated, and it works well in the Linux way of working, and that's where we go back into the family-ish way that we have, rather than the very structured way they have. I mean, the reason why I joined FreeBSD in the first place, and I was working first on Linux and providing patches on some Linux community, is because it's messy and we can talk to everyone quite easily, and it really sounds like family. And that's the reason I joined the project, because in the end, I found that it was easier to get there. I could make mistakes, it's okay. I know that there was very talented people who were able to review and stuff like this, and I could access them directly. So when in your first patch you get some very strong names coming in and jumping in your thing is very interesting. While on Linux, I felt like it was more. I mean, I've been working on contributing in company where we contributed a huge part of some subsystem on Linux, and yeah, it was more, maybe more professional, but more painful as well and less fun.
I definitely found that from the Linux side, there's unspoken interests, and you'll never get an answer if someone in a key position just doesn't want something. And
Yeah, that was the part.
maybe you can in person, but finding people in person is always the hard part. And maybe every open source project has this to some extent.
Exactly. I
So
mean,
in your USBCon talk, you asked where the cool swag was. And I wonder, are we cool yet?
I don't think we are cool yet anymore. I think that's one of the reason. I mean, if companies are in company, you always get people that are, yeah, FreeBSD was the thing I tested 10 years ago and it was fun and I'm surprised you get there. It's because we don't have any, or we have very, very few newcomers to companies that comes with, hey, oh, you have Linux, but I've been working with FreeBSD and it's fine. And I really think that it's not the company we need to convince to switch to FreeBSD, but the students and the youth and the sysadmin and the developers in general to show them that it's cool to work on FreeBSD, and they will bring with them when they will join companies, the, oh, you want to do that? It's very easy with FreeBSD. And company will follow if slowly, but they will follow if that's the case. And we totally fail at doing that while we were very cool when I was a student. It was way cooler to have FreeBSD on his laptop than a Linux or stuff like this. You know, your Linux, you were kind of, hey, you're interesting guys, but you were the hardcore guy when you were having any BSD on your laptop. So. And you have cool swags.
What do you think a first step would be?
Hard. I don't know. I think also at the time FreeBSD was huge in universities in general. There was always sysadmin in the university, so they were the one polluting the mind of the kids with FreeBSD school. And we also lost that position, so maybe there is a chicken egg problem here. I really don't know. I think it's good that there is something we do great in FreeBSD that other BSD might. Reproach might say it's a bad thing, but we are good in catching up with Linux. When Linux does something good, we are able to at some point provide either compatibility or catch up in something which is similar enough so that we are not lost in the game. But there are something we failed at now is drive differently than Linux as well. How can you do that the FreeBSD way rather than trying to do exactly the same way that Linux is doing? And it's interesting because in all the company I've been working With each time I have set up some FreeBSD, or because I know well FreeBSD Extra, maybe I'm good for that. But I always found systems that were way simpler to implement and to maintain that the equivalent done on Linux in most of the time. That's something we should really, really push. Communicate about show tutorials and stuff like this because we are very good at doing something like that, like making an appliance based on Linux. If you've played with, I don't remember because I'm not in the IoT area anymore, but the framework on Linux that exists to UNOS or I don't remember the name, but the framework that exists to do embedded images, which are
Buildroot.
actually, yeah, Buildroot and there is two or three different one.
Yeah, Yocto.
Exactly, Yocto, Buildroot, and stuff like this. And you compare to, for instance, doing the same with Poudrière image. And I mean, it's 10 times harder to do your image in Buildroot than in Poudrière image. NanoBSD, I've never been a fan of it because I find it too complex for what. Probably because it's dated and there is a lot of Poudrière image came way later with all the modern stuff we have in the middle. But Poudrière image, I've done it just to be able to provide images. At the time, it was for the Gandhi VPS. So I was building FreeBSD images for that, and it was so simple to manage and to do. Streamed down version of FreeBSD that are really good appliances. That's something I've never seen, and I've been working in areas where we provide Linux appliances. It's never been as easy as what we are able to do with FreeBSD, except that no one knows how to do it properly. And that's a problem. So we should advocate for that.
Do you think we're missing training material, or is it like a full spectrum thing? Like we need.
I think it's a full spectrum sim. We don't have the habit to communicate properly about that. We mainly communicate when I saw most of the tutorials on the net, on the internet, and stuff like this. I see people trying to say, "Hey, I've seen people doing that on Linux. Look, I'm doing that on FreeBSD as well," which is great. But why will I use FreeBSD if I have Linux that can do the same? So it's important to know that we are in par in many systems and that we are able to do the same. So don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should stop doing that, but we should also say, look, this is how I build an image based on FreeBSD in, give me 10 minutes and you get an image. The thing is, we have again many ways to do that. NanoBSD, I did Poudrière image. Others are doing other things. And I felt that I did put your image, I just committed everything and said nothing, basically. So how do you want people to catch up on that? And that's a problem. We are not, and we don't take the time to communicate. Another area, like when I wrote the MacDo kernel module, I've been contacted by the journal, like, hey, make an article because it would be great to explain you are doing this and this and how complicated it was to do it. And I was, yes, I want to do it. And I don't have time, I don't take time. And that's why also on this interview I jumped on it, right? Do it now because otherwise in a year and a half it will never happen.
That's why we decided to interview you.
But really, I mean, that's a problem, but that's the problem because we are volunteers, most of us. And I mean, I have a personal interest that FreeBSD is widely known, and I would prefer to work in an environment where I daily work on FreeBSD, which is not the case at all. The new Agilent and stuff like this in the VH Cloud was side project sponsored by the companies because I have time for that. But side project, anyways, my daily work is totally disconnected from FreeBSD. So I have, yeah, if it was possible, it would be great. But then I don't have the time, and when I stop working, I have the kids. Whatever, or I just want to have package in shape or fix that bug in your Agilent, and so writing an article is lagging behind.
I think in the project we are behind in many ways to the like the industry state of the art. So we have some CI, but we don't have, GitHub Actions compatible pipelines. Like we're missing some of the steps. We have bits of it, and I wonder if we're also missing some of the like the growth hacking side of things as well. Like we're missing people doing developer relations and actually selling FreeBSD as a platform for sysadmins.
Completely agree on that. I'm personally maintaining the CI for Sourcehead. Well, which I should update because I haven't updated it for 1 year, and I pay my subscription to Sourcehead just to be able to have a CI on FreeBSD. I think I lost you.
Yeah, we have some packet loss. Okay, I think
Yeah.
we're back.
IWL Wi-Fi.
I didn't do that, so it's not my fault.
No, it's not yours. Yeah, so I was saying, yeah, there is some CI available there and there, but yeah, we don't have the main one. And it's something which is painful. But also, we are very bad. So again, if we want this to work and to be easy, we need to be better at spreading the knowledge on how to do that easily. Like it took me something like an hour and a half to get a script that builds the images for Source Hut properly, and except that Lexi has broken the packages in pieces, which probably have broken the CI in their place. I mean, I have something which was really easy based on fully on the package base and stuff like this to get the CI out of box working there rather than the complex script that I see everywhere else. And that's something we're not good at spreading. It's very easy to build a CI based on FreeBSD, which is fast to build and fast to spawn. But it's again knowledge that is not shared.
Okay, I want to thank you for the time. I don't want to take too much from you. Do you have anything you want to add that we've not discussed?
I'm not sure actually. I'm happy that you brought the good, bad, and ugly thing that I did at the time, because I can see that we have fixed 99% of the bad and the ugly. So the project is in better shape than I have that what I think sometime. So it's good.
Maybe you need to reprise the talk in 3 years and do a rundown of
Yeah,
how we're doing.
I have a new lot of new sets of ugly things to add, and actually, I'm still considering that. I think the expression is the unknown giant or something like that. I really think that FreeBSD is way better than and can provide very way more things than people think about, and I'm quite sad that. We are not able to attract people on that anymore.
I
But
like through the podcast and to conferences, I do a lot of evangelism, but I don't want to have an argument with anyone. Like, I don't want to convince you to use FreeBSD because I've seen people use FreeBSD and it's different enough from what they're used to that it's painful. Like, if you've only used Debian and you use FreeBSD, it hurts. You're like, why hasn't Nginx started? Where's my database? Because we
I don't
have
want
different
to come.
norms.
That's why I don't want to convert people into using FreeBSD. I want them to come to FreeBSD for FreeBSD so they understand where they go. I don't want them to copy paste their Linux usage on FreeBSD because I think it's bad. I want them to understand the difference and what FreeBSD can provide them, and in many cases, why it's more useful than they have, and in some cases, it's not, and it's fine. And that's the thing.
Yeah, I think the if there was a developer relations role, it wouldn't be running FreeBSD courses. It would be running, I don't know, like Elixir web services. Like it'd be something completely oblique to FreeBSD, but we just with FreeBSD as the tutorial platform, and then you expose people to FreeBSD, but it's not an evangelism place. There's no argument like use FreeBSD. It's oh, we're running on this, and everything's easy, and it's easy because it's FreeBSD, but it's not. It's not the main part because I don't think that sort of argument works for people. I've tried having these conversations with like the BBC, and they've told me they've changed Linux distributions a ton, but getting to go to FreeBSD wouldn't actually be an infrastructural change because they've gone, Debian, Red Hat, Ubuntu. They've done all this changing, they've reskilled all these times. FreeBSD would just be another platform because it's still Nginx and files, but there's also no aptitude internally to do it. And so like an Nginx tuning course would be a great way to be like, oh yeah, and this is all great on FreeBSD. And maybe it would apply in Debian. We don't know. And I don't know how to bring this into the world and get exposure to it.
Well, I think the value of FreeBSD is the flexibility of the operating system. So it's not, yeah, we can run the same. That it's more here. Okay, here a contest. Make me a maintainable over 10 year. So that's why it's not doable in a course. But make me a maintainable over 10 year appliance that you keep up to date like every month. That takes you something like, I don't know, 1 hour of maintenance every month. And make the contest between the Linux distribution and FreeBSD and see where you go. And I'm pretty sure that I can win that contest on FreeBSD. And that's fun. And that's where people will say, okay, this is interesting for that use case. And this is cool for that use case. But obviously, you cannot show that in a tutorial because it takes 10 years to prove. And but that's the kind of thing that I think we should push FreeBSD in. So maybe not in 10 years, but showing exactly what is the difference and why it's good to be different and when here it brings you value. And if not, keep your system. There is no value for you to migrate to FreeBSD. And I keep seeing, like, for example, even in a very cloudish infrastructure, like they were working on. I've been working in the past in a design of a FAS cluster for a function as a service and stuff like this. And I ended up with a design on FreeBSD based on the jails that was absolutely way easier to do than the equivalent that my colleagues came with Elixir or Docker at the beginning. And it was lighter. It didn't scale because the number of jails doesn't scale. So that's a bug we have. If you're on 100 jails and then you try to kill them, then you will see that it doesn't scale at all. But that's fixable. But in the end, it's really interesting because the design per se was really easier to do. Like, I need to get any version of PHP, any version of Python, any version of Golang or whatever in jails, the thinnest possible jails and jails that start up the fastest possible when reacting on events and stuff like this. And it was way, way easier to do on FreeBSD. At least when I showed that the design was way easier to do than the very complex thing they had on Linux. At least maybe my colleagues were not good, but no one was able to provide something that's that fast to bootstrap each time. So there is a lot of area where we have many good things. There is a lot of area where we sucks, but we should more highlight that. And I don't know how with community driven like that, I don't know how we can reach that level.
Great. Thank you very much.
Behind Kubernetes there is Google,
Yeah.
behind Docker there is companies, all is in marketing in those areas. We are not doing the marketing, we are doing the code, and then we ship it, and then we hope that someone will do the marketing for us, and then we yell because that person is not technical enough, and so we are selling that it could be better, and let me do it, but I will never have time and stuff like this.
Thank you very much. Anything else as we go?
No, I think I wonder what you can get out of this interview in an article. Good luck for you.
Okay, I'll stop the recording.